Okay, thanks for tuning in to this edition of My Car Guru. I've got a problem, though. You know, I've been hacked a lot lately. Used to that, I guess that meant that you were mad. I'm hacked off. But it doesn't mean that anymore. It means that somebody has invaded your personal space on your computer or your phone or your Facebook account or Instagram account or whatever. So I'm going to have to beef up my passwords. Apparently, somebody knows the names of all of my pets, and then they know just to add 1234 after the name. So can't use Shady 1234, Lucy 1234, Bubba 1234, and so forth. Did I just give out all my passwords over the year? I guess I just did. Well, okay, so I'm going to have to change them again. Now, I've come up with some really crazy ones, and I think they're hack-proof. But apparently somebody can get into your computer and then they can uncover all of your passwords by going to one particular place on my Apple device. So I don't know. I don't know how you hide from these people. Maybe just don't use computers. Maybe that would be the answer. Anyway, I just sold my wife's electric bicycle, the first one that I bought for her. We went the electric route. I guess when you hit 60, you got to do something a little bit different if you want to keep riding. So I bought her a Trek, what was it? A Verve 3 Plus was the name of it. And I mentioned that she fell because she has a hard time getting over the bar. Because it's a boy's bike. It doesn't have the drop low where you can step through. So anyway, she fell in a very embarrassing situation. She wasn't that embarrassed. She doesn't embarrass easy. But I'm just not going to have my wife falling all over the place when we go on bike rides. So I bought her a new one. Well, just sold hers to a pretty little girl from Asheville, North Carolina. Drove all the way over here after an advertisement in Facebook Marketplace. That's a good place to sell stuff, folks, if you have a Facebook page. If you don't have a Facebook page, I guess you can't participate. But I guess you can have a Facebook page and never really post anything and still have access to Facebook Marketplace, because it is a wonderful place to sell stuff. I've sold a bunch of stuff on there, so including cars, and now a bicycle. And she was from Asheville, North Carolina. And I didn't ask her how old she was, but if I was guessing, I'd say 22, maybe a little bit younger. And she said, my grandfather said that I needed a bill of sale. Well, she really didn't. But, you know, it is a pretty expensive purchase, and it does give you a certain level of protection. I recommend that you always print off a bill of sale. You can go to tn.gov or just Google bill of sale Tennessee, and one will pop up. And I print that out whenever I sell a car on Bring a Trailer or to an individual that's not running through Gateway Ford. If we bill it out through Gateway Ford, then we have all of that fancy paperwork that we got to do. But when you bill out something in an individual, you still need a bill of sale. A lot of people say, well, you know, I can just sign the title and everything, right? Well, you can. But that extra layer of protection in case you're selling stolen merchandise or buying something that was stolen, it doesn't hurt to have that extra information, including, especially if you're buying something, okay? If you're selling something, get the copy of the driver's license. Does that seem awkward to say, well, I'll say this, but I need a copy of your driver's license? Well, we do that because as a dealer, we're required to. We have to make sure that we're not selling it to a terrorist. Yeah, that was all from, I guess, you know, many years ago when they started. They just wanted to make sure that there weren't a bunch of terrorists out here buying Schwinn bicycles, I guess. I don't know. But a bill of sale is a good thing to have, a copy of the driver's license of the buyer, especially if you're selling somebody a car. The title, you know, is obviously something that you want to provide. And there are certain circumstances where people are selling a car that has a lien payoff. And I'll go over how you handle that. You know, if you still owe money on the car, you don't have the title. The bank does. And so I want to make sure you understand the steps that you need to take for that as well, because there have been a lot of people get burned, turned over a vehicle to a criminal, and they end up still stuck with the debt. And there are, you know, you would think that would be common sense, but, you know, as they say, the only thing common about common sense is that it's not very common. Okay, I'm going to take my first break. I'll be back here in just a minute. A lot of people don't realize this, but you can get more twisted up legally buying a vehicle from an individual than you can from a dealer. You know, with a dealer, you have some degree of recourse. You can complain through the Consumer Products Division in the state where you are, the Motor Vehicle Commission. You know, there's all types of different things that you can do. You have legal documentation that the dealer signs. They have their reputation that they want to preserve, right? You may not think they do, but the way some of them behave, but most of them do. You know, you've got people that you can talk to. You've got a business with a sign, and you know, you can give them bad Google ratings and things. There's all kinds of leverage that buyers of vehicles have, but not against an individual. Because, you know, you can buy a car from somebody and they can just poof, disappear. And you've ended up buying something that was stolen. You know, they make you promises. Well, I don't have the title with me, but I'll bring it. I'll just drop the car off. I'll bring you the title. You know, never, ever get into a situation like that. And make sure that the documentation matches the vehicle VIN number. Now, if I'm buying a vintage car, I'm going to do a little research first and find out where the VIN numbers are. You know, if somebody's claiming something to have an original motor, for example, I know that if it's a Chevrolet, that the VIN will be stamped on the engine block. Now, that's not true on a lot of other makes and models. You can only pretty much get it close. You know, like if you're buying an old VW, for example, it has a number, the engine number, stamped on the engine, and it's very visible when you open up the back end of a VW. That number does not relate to the serial number that's underneath the hood on that vehicle. You can go and do a little bit of research and make sure that engine was manufactured sometime around the same time that the vehicle was built. And then you're pretty sure that it's, you know, original to that car, but you're really not 100% sure even then. But, you know, there are a lot of vehicles out there that have, you know, suffered major damage, had the frame replaced, for example, and then, you know, the vehicle was probably totaled. And there are ways in different states where you can actually wash a title, which means that it doesn't show up as salvage. There is no marking on the title. And when you do the research, you have to dig really deep to actually discover that this vehicle actually had an insurance claim paid on it. Not a good thing to find out. That happened to me one time. I bought a Porsche, I think it was a 92 model Targa. And I let my exuberance overwhelm my logic. And you know, I just didn't really check all the numbers out. And then and I signed my rights away with this dealer in Illinois, and it was shipped to me. The minute I saw that vehicle, he had said that it was original paint. And I took his word for it. And I don't do that anymore. But as soon as I saw it on the back of the truck, and it was even delivered at dusk, I was walking down the steps, and I could just see down the side of it. And I said, oh, no. And I mean, that was from 30 feet away. I could tell that vehicle was not original paint. I could see waviness. You don't see waviness in a Porsche. It's just straight as an arrow. So there are so many different ways that you can get burned. But you know, you need to make sure that when you're buying something that you get the right documentation signed. And a bill of sale gives you an extra layer of protection. It just says what the deal was. Lots of people don't fill in the numbers on a title. You're not required to. All you have to do on a title is just, you know, sign your name and their name and the date that the sale took place and the county and stuff. Some of them have to be notarized. Some don't. Make sure that if you're buying a car from out of state and that it does require a notary signature for the seller, better make sure their signature got notarized, because you're not going to find anybody in Tennessee, any notary, that's going to notarize something that the person wasn't sitting in front of them and they didn't see them sign it. That's very important to make sure that that's done. But see, I mean, most people just don't know what to check. I'd recommend that if you have a good banker friend, or if you know somebody in the car business, like me, then you just call and say, hey, Lenny, what do I need to do? I'm buying a car, and I'm buying it from out of state, and this guy's selling it to me, and he says he has the title and so forth. You know, I'll give you a checklist of things that you need to do. And, you know, it's just protecting yourself. A lot of people get burned this way, and you may end up with a car, but you don't have the right to own the car. Or you may send money to somebody, you know, wire the funds to somebody, and, you know, you end up, there's no car there. You just got totally scammed. It happens every day. So you don't want it to happen to you. I just sold a car on Bring a Trailer to a guy I've never seen. Now, you go through this auction site. There's a certain degree of protection there. I mean, at least the car gets evaluated really well. I mean, you've got hundreds of pictures in many cases. You have the comments section where a lot of people, a lot of know-it-alls occasionally, but sometimes people that really do know it all, chime in and point out things on the car. So it gives you kind of a comfort level. I guarantee you, I would never buy a car on Bring a Trailer unless I checked out who the seller was. There's a way that you can do that. You just click on their name, and it takes you to all the vehicles that they have either sold or bought, or in comments that they've made on Bring a Trailer, and you kind of get to know people that way. But still, there's some risk involved because, so this guy buys this 87 Porsche 911 from me. He's never met me before. He's the high bidder on Bring a Trailer. Now, when you're the high bidder and you've exceeded the reserve, then 5% of whatever the final bid was is automatically charged to your credit card. So you have an incentive then to go and finalize the transaction. But the transaction is not done. You still have to work out the details. Now, one of the things that you have to have before you can submit a vehicle on Bring a Trailer, which is just an online auction site, bringatrailer.com, you have to send Bring a Trailer a copy of the title, front and back. They want to make sure that you have it and that it doesn't have any liens on it. You know, and sometimes people will offer a vehicle for sale on Bring a Trailer and it does have a lien. Now, that would concern me. I'm not going to buy a car like that. I'm sorry. However, you know, a lot of vehicles have liens on them. That means that somebody owes money on it, and the bank is holding the title, or, you know, it could be a credit union or somebody like that. So there's an extra conversation that has to be had, and that's with the banker, the people who have the lien. And, you know, if I'm buying a car from somebody, I don't want to have to do all the legwork of having to call their bank and making sure what the payoff is and how long the payoff is good for. You know, because they quote a payoff, and it may be a 10-day payoff or a 5-day payoff. So you always have to ask that question. But, you know, these are things, the traps that buyers fall into. And so they think they've got a car bought, and then it just completely falls apart because they didn't know what questions to ask. So I can help you with that. More than happy to do that. It's just that most people won't ask. And, you know, what's the odds of somebody listening to this radio show or podcast right now that they're actually in the middle of buying a car from an individual? It's possible, but I'm telling you that you're much safer going through a new car dealer. There's a lot of shady used car dealers out there that play a lot of games. I know there was one in town not too far from here, about 30 miles. They sold about, I don't know, I think it was upwards of 30 vehicles to individuals. And they had never paid off, you know, they were trade-ins to that dealership, and they had never paid off the payoffs that were on those vehicles when they traded for it. So a customer comes in, trades a car, they have a payoff, let's say GMAC, and they assume that, you know, they do all the paperwork, and the remaining balance of that payoff was added to their contract, or their deficiency was added to that contract. And so they're driving off, and they think they've got it all done, which they probably do. But the dealer didn't do his part and actually pay off their trade-in. So they're kind of still on the hook for it. I mean, they as far as they were concerned, they washed their hands of it. But you can't wash your hands of something if your name's still on the note. I want to make sure that thing is paid off. You know, if I even trade with a new car dealer, and let's say I had a $20,000 payoff on my $40,000 car, I want to make sure that got done. You know, I'm just not going to leave it to the dealer. Now, you could leave it to a lot of dealers that I know, including me, because I'm not going to trade for your car and not pay it off. But there's a lot of individuals out there that are having cash flow problems, a lot of dealers that are probably fewer now than there were several years ago. But that, you know, you could have a dealer that just is cash strapped. And so one way for him to solve that problem illegally is to trade for vehicles, finance those vehicles, finance the payoff. The customer that, you know, buys the vehicle is fine, but he just doesn't, he delays or doesn't pay off the debt that was on that vehicle. And then he turns around and of course the vehicle that he sold you, he had that on floor plan and he doesn't pay that off either. So you can imagine how that would boost his cash flow. You can also imagine how much outflow a dealer has when he sells a car until he gets the funds from the bank that he's financing it or financing it with. So if I sell you a vehicle and you finance it with me, I'm going to have you sign a contract. And I'm when you sign the contract, you know, it's got your monthly payments and the unpaid balance and all that stuff. I'm going to turn around and send that contract to the bank, and the bank is going to write me a check or wire me the money to fund that contract. In the meantime, I have to pay off the floor plan on the car that you bought. I have to pay off your trade-in. And all those rebates, well, we don't have rebates now, but all those rebates that you are that the dealer said you were getting, you know, let's say it's $5,000 worth of rebates, the dealer has to wait on those as well because they come from the manufacturer. So I used to say that every time a car is sold, there's a giant sucking sound of cash coming out of the business. Well, if you sell, you know, 30 cars over a long weekend, imagine how much money that is, with the average selling price of a car somewhere around $46,000. Takes a lot of capital to run a car dealership, and they can get upside down pretty quickly. So as a consumer, the main thing you want to make sure of, forget about buying the car. There's so many things you have to watch out for there. But just from a payoff standpoint, make sure that your trade-in got paid off. Now, it doesn't happen instantly. For example, if I were to send a check to a bank to pay off your trade-in, it's going to take me, you know, a couple days to turn that check around, just internal business stuff. Then it goes in the mail, and then it, you know, however long that takes, then it hits them. They're going to hold my check for at least 10 days to make sure that my check clears the bank, or they're going to submit it, but they're not going to hold the check. They're going to hold the title to the vehicle until my bank pays off that check, makes that check good. And sometimes my bank will turn around and make it good in 24 hours, but they're still holding my check or holding that title for 10 days. Well, why are they doing that? Because their cash flow needs it. See, I mean, this floating thing can really become an issue. So, you know, it's just my concern for individuals selling cars to other individuals is just make sure you know what you're buying. Make sure you run a Carfax or an auto check. Check the history of the vehicle. You know, if you're buying a vehicle that was maybe in an area where they had some big floods, maybe in Louisiana or Kentucky, you know, like we recently had, or out in California, you know, there's so many different ways a car can get injured, and you can end up buying something that's had flood damage if you don't check the vehicle service history. The other thing is calling the dealership that sells that vehicle and seeing if there's any open campaigns, any recalls, or any issues with that particular vehicle. They'll know. If you're buying a Chevrolet, you can call Champion Chevrolet in Johnson City or you know, Nally, or any kind of Chevrolet dealer in California, wherever, and find out. Just ask to speak to the service advisor and tell them you're thinking about buying this particular vehicle. This is the VIN number. Would you check and see if there are any open recalls or any serious issues with this vehicle? And they'll tell you. You know, and they'll tell you about the warranty history. Well, man, that thing was a buyback. How would you like to hear that? You know, that the vehicle that you are buying from an individual was actually bought back by the factory because it had so many issues, probably while it was covered under the Lemon Law. Would that make you feel good? Probably not. Well, these are the kind of things that I hope to pass on to folks who listen to this program, and we'll try to do more of that in the future. Okay, I'll be back here in just a minute. You know, sometimes when you sell something to somebody, like I just did, that bicycle, people will act like they know everything about it, and they'll say, no, I think I know how it works, when they really don't. And that happened with this girl. I mean, I said, now, have you ever had experience with electric bikes? Oh, yeah, yeah. You ever owned one? Well, no, never owned one. I said, so do you know how all this track particular work, how these controls work and all the different... Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, let me just show you anyway. I knew she didn't. You know, don't pretend like you know something when you don't. It's no slam against you for you to say, you know, would you please show me how this will work? Make the salesperson, especially when you're buying a new car, or a new motorcycle, or a new bicycle for that matter, make them earn their money. Get them to explain to you how everything works. And make sure that when you're buying the car, that they put the copy of the owner's manual and the warranty book in your hand and don't leave it in the glove box, because there's some things in there you need to know. You need to know how to contact customer assistance if necessary. You need to know when the first maintenance is due on that vehicle. You know, there's so many things that people just assume. You know, all those buttons across the dash and down the center console, you should know what every one of them does before you leave. Now, if you don't have time for that, then what we do is we offer our customers an opportunity to come back. So we invite them when they buy a car from us, say, if you feel like you just don't really understand how things work, then I would like to see you next week at the dealership at 10 a.m. on Saturday, and we'll just go over a few more things with you just to make sure you feel totally comfortable with this. Would you like to do that? Now, you know, most salespeople are not going to offer that to you, because once you drive off the dealership lot, then they're done with you. And, you know, they've got their commission, and they'll probably never call you or anything. But that's no way to be. If you're serious about a career in a car business, you should follow up with your sold customers intently and with a plan, so that hopefully they'll come back and buy another one from you. Pretty much everybody knows somebody else that's going to be in the market for a car or is in the market for a car. But if you don't call them and follow up and then ask for referrals, you know, I'm perfectly willing to give referrals to somebody if they ask me, aren't you? If I was happy with the experience and they took good care of me, then sure. If I know anybody that's in the market for a car, I say, why don't you call Buzz Aldrin over there? He's a good friend of mine. Used to fly spaceships. You know, I'm going to recommend people that do a great job. And I think that's something that we can do as good neighbors. And then when you do that, you develop a relationship with them. If you ever have any issues, you know who to call. Everybody needs a plumber, an electrician, and, you know, maybe a lawyer. Hopefully you don't need a lawyer, but, you know, somebody that handles your real estate transactions if you do a lot of those. But you also need a car guy. You need or gal. You need somebody that knows about cars, that is in a position to do something to help you out when you have a question. Because most people don't know anybody. There are a few that do, but most people don't. So now you do, though. You know me. This is Lenny Lawson, the Car Guru. You can call me on my cell phone or text me at 423-552-2020, or you can send me an email to LennyLawson2020@gmail.com. That's real easy to remember. You ever wonder how I had 2020 in both of those? It took some engineering. I've had several optometrists try to buy my phone number from me, but it's not for sale. Used it too much. Well, thanks for listening to this edition of My Car Guru, and I will see you tomorrow.